Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 32. Nyasyedam atmani jagat vilayam bhumadye. Shei shet manas nija sukhanubhavo nirriha. Yogena milita drig atmani nipita nidras. Torye sito natitamo nagunam chayangshe. Nyasya, throwing. Idam, this. Atmani, in your own self. Jagat, cosmic manifestation created by you. Vilaya ambu madhye, in a causal ocean, in which everything is preserved in a state of reserved energy. She she, you act as if sleeping. Atmana, by yourself. Nija, your own personal. Sukha anubhava, experiencing the state of spiritual bliss. Niriha, appearing to be doing nothing. Yogena, by the mystic power. Militadrik, your eyes appearing closed. Atma, by a manifestation of yourself. Nipita, prevented. Nidra, who's sleeping. Torye, in the transcendental stage. Stitaha, keeping yourself. Na, not. To, but. Tamaha, the material condition of sleeping. Na, nor. Gunan, the material modes. Cha, and. Yungshe, do you engage yourself in? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in the transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karana Dakshai Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. Purport is explained very clearly in the Brahma Samhita. Yakaranarnava jale vajati sma yoga. I guess that's in the Brahma Samhita too. Nidram ananta jagaranda saroma kupa. Adara Shaktim Avalambya Param Samurtim Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Yeah, fits exactly. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who lies down in the causal ocean in his plenary portion as Mahavishnu. With all the universes generating from the pores of his hair, on his transcendental body, and who accepts the mystic slumber of eternity. The Adi Purusha, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Govinda, expands himself as Mahavishnu. After the annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, he keeps himself in transcendental bliss. The word yoga nidram is used in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand that this yoga nidra or sleep is not like our nidra in the mode of ignorance. The Lord is always situated in transcendence. He is Satchit Ananda, eternally in bliss. And thus he is not disturbed by sleep like ordinary human beings. It should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in a transcendental bliss in all stages. Srila Madhvacharya concisely states that the Lord is Turiya Stita, always situated in transcendence. In transcendence, there is no such thing as Jagarana Nidra Shushupti, wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. The practice of yoga is similar to the yoga nidra of Mahavishnu. Yogis are advised to keep their eyes half closed, but this state is not at all one of sleep. Although imitation yogis, especially in the modern age, manifest their so-called yoga by sleeping. In the Shastras, yoga is described as dhyana vastita, a state of full meditation. But this is meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa. The mind should always be situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yoga practice does not mean sleeping. For those who are in class, we should know that. The mind should always be actively fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then one's practice about yoga will be successful. So this refers to the Astanga yogis and the Bhakti yogis too. Sleeping during yoga class. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after annihilation the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karnadakashaya Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching anything material, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. Krishna always acts appropriately, according to the circumstances, and since he created the material world for the sleeping living entities, therefore, naturally, he sets the example and he appears to sleep himself. Because the material world is, Hare Krishna, is a place where everyone is asleep. And the whole idea is this class is to wake people up. So if we wake everyone up, then we've achieved our objective. The material world means it's a dream of Mahavishnu. Now, when we're dreaming, nothing really is happening because we have no capacity to manifest material energy. But Krishna dreams, then it manifests itself as a complete cosmic manifestation. So therefore his dream is distinct from our dream. When we're dreaming, we're just actually experiencing Mahavishnu's dream. Now Mahavishnu's dream is real because everything Krishna does is real. But it's his dream. It's his energy. It's all spiritual energy. But it's spirit, when we are under its subjection, subjected to it, then we're in Maya. We're in illusion. We're in illusion that who we are and what's going on. We don't realize that we're just experiencing Mahavishnu's dream, according to our desire to do so and what we deserve. Prabhupada said, for instance, during the day you see a mountain and you see some gold. This is in the Krishna book. So at night you see a golden mountain in your dream. Now, there is no real mountain in your dream. There's no real gold. But then again, when you see the mountain, who's to say that's actually what we're actually seeing. We call it a mountain, but it's just a combination of the material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, formed in such a way as we call it a mountain. But the mountain is really not different from a flower. It has the same energy, just in different proportions, and appears to be different. But ultimately, it's all out of Bhumir Apanalo Vayu, Kamano Buddha Eva Cha, Hankara Itiya Me Bina Prakriti Ashtita. So Krishna, when in Bhagavad Gita, he says, now I'm going to explain to everything. So, when the scientists, they try to explain how everything came out of nothing, they had to write a formula that took up a whole book. Pretty amazing how, when you're trying to explain how everything comes out of nothing, you need a whole book to explain. But Krishna says, I'm going to explain everything in the seventh chapter, and he explains it all in two verses. Actually, three verses. There's the material energy, there's the spiritual souls, and then there's him. And that's it. If you know those three things, then you know everything. Now, someone may pride themselves that they know all the different combinations of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and therefore they're learned. Although they don't know what they think they know. In other words, they look at some object and they analyze it according to its properties, but all they're doing is analyzing the properties of the material energy. For instance, in Ayurveda doesn't try to define everything. It defines the basic principle, energetic principles, which can be useful for maintaining the body, for instance. That's why it's called Ayurveda. Just to look at some object and analyze it, you know, to look at some bacteria. They say that there are 40 million viruses. Now, what is the value? First of all, to see a virus, you need an electronic microscope. So do we really believe that they... No, I'm sorry, it wasn't 40 million. It's 40,000 different viruses. Do we actually believe they looked at each one of those viruses under an electronic microscope? How many electronic microscopes are there? And how many people are looking through them? And even if they look at them and they see them, so what? What good does it do us? Does anyone feel better because they found 40,000 so-called viruses? Or as I said before, they claim what an atom is. They have never seen an atom. Even you look through an electronic microscope, how can you actually see an atom? You can't see an atom. So they take something, a particle, and they accelerate it. They put it into some kind of labyrinth that costs tens of billions of dollars. They accelerate it, and then it hits another particle, and they look at their screen, and they see something come out. And they call that what's in the atom, a quark or something. A quark or a warrock or a cork. Whatever they call it. And then they say, well, that's what's in the atom. But of course they know that's absurd. Because if you take a dog and you hit it with a stick and woofs come out, no one's going to claim that the dog is made out of woofs. So just because they hit the atom, so-called hit something with something, something else comes out. It's not that they can't even see it, just a blimp. They don't see what's coming out. They just see some kind of light flash, and they think that's what it is. So most of the material world is a dream. And what they're doing is they're by this analytical study of the material world according to mental speculation, what they're doing is just dreaming. They've created this whole dream. But they don't even know what the properties are. In other words, for instance, even anyone who's familiar with the basic properties of material nature can see that there is things that transform other things. There are things that have smell. There are things that basically are solid and have smell. There are things that keep things together. There are energies that transform things. There are energies that move things. So those are properties that are helpful. For instance, in your body, if things are moving too much in the digestive system, then you have to know the property of something that will slow it down. So moving too fast, for instance, is called diarrhea. So you need something that would slow it down. So that would probably be something that movement is caused by air. So you need something that slows the air down, that pacifies the air. And then you get, so generally speaking, things like earth or fire or water can pacify air to some degree. And if things aren't moving, you need something to get the air going or to take care of the obstructions like fire or something. So just simple common sense, but they don't even have that much common sense. They give you something so you don't feel it anymore. They have no idea how the energies work, even earth, water, fire, air, and ether, how they're actually working. All they can do is try to make you unaware of how they're working. They give you some sedative or some kind of steroid or antibiotic or something, because they have no, even the most elementary idea how the material world is working. But they've given themselves Nobel Prizes. And therefore they claim they know everything. So from our point of view is that everyone is asleep here. And they're sleeping in their dreaming state. They're coming up with this idea that they have some knowledge. They have not, they don't even know they're asleep, and yet they think they know everything. Not only they don't know who they are, they don't know they're asleep. And they don't know how to wake up, nor do they want to wake up, because they like their dream. Or they may not even like their dream. They may even dislike their dream, but they don't know they're dreaming. So they don't know how to wake up. And even if they know they're dreaming, they wouldn't have any idea how to wake up. And even if they're dreaming, and they so-called like their dream, because they're attached to their dream, that if you try to wake them up, they'll just pretend they're asleep. It's like you're in a warm, comfortable bed, and it's cold outside your bed, and someone comes and wakes you up, and you just, I'm asleep, go away. There's no way I'm going to wake up. So our biggest attachment is usually to our bed, especially in the morning. If you can break your attachment to the bed, then you make a lot of spiritual progress. But then we come to class, and we come attached to the wall. And if we break that attachment, we'll fall down. As I said, Krishna is asleep, but he's not really asleep, because if he was asleep, then everything would be disorganized. But his sleep is just to create our dream for ourselves. So his dream is real, and for Krishna, it's all fulfilling his ultimate purpose of rasa with the living entity. As it says in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna saw his lover was asleep, and therefore he tried to shake her, to wake her up for enjoyment. So Krishna is trying to wake up the living entity so he can have transcendental association with Krishna. And to do that, he's created this dream, or he's creating this continuous dream for ourselves, until we finally figure out it's just a dream, it's just wasting our time here. I'm never going to become I'm not what I think I am, and nor am I ever going to become anything I think I am in this material world. I'm just wasting my time. If I want to get what I'm actually looking for in all these varieties of illusion, then I should wake up. Or stand up. And then the result will be that I could actually become blissful like Krishna. If we realize that this is Krishna's dream, and we wake up, then we'll actually see that the whole world is full of happiness. Is all meant for Krishna's transcendental happiness, and we can partake in them even by waking up in this material world to the reality of Krishna consciousness, then the whole world becomes full of happiness. Vishvam sukham sukhayate. Vishvam sukha sukhayate. It couldn't be two sukha sukhayate. Vishvam purnam sukha sukhayate. That's not right. Purnam vishvam sukhayate. That's right. Purnam sukha. Purnam vishva sukhayate. That kaivayanara kayate. Kaivalyanara kayate, that for one who is in Krishna consciousness, he sees the whole world as this merging into Brahman is considered to be just like like a hell, actually. Kaivalyanara kayate, like hell. Vishvapur, and then vidhi mahendritis chakitayate. No, that's it. Then the planet of the demigods is considered to be phantasmagoria. Dordantendriya kalasapapatiya damstrayate. And the yogis, the venomous serpent-like senses that the yogis are trying to control are just like snakes with broken fangs. Purna vishvam sutayake. And the whole material world is considered to be full of happiness. Vidhi mahendritas chakidayate. And even great demigods like Lord Brahma and Indra considered to be like on the same level as all the other living entities, including the insignificant Kitayate, the small little insects. Vidhi Mahendriya. So, one kitaksha tadbhavavam tam gurum evastamha. That if one gets a merciful sideline glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one can experience all these things. The emerging Brahman is like hell. That the planet of the demigods is like pushpayate. Vidhi is like a flower in the sky. Akasha pushpayate. You have the whole verse there? And so the first word, kaivalyanara kayate. And then what's the next word? Tridasha pura pushpayate. Kasha pushpayate, like a flower in the sky. The poisonous senses that the yogis are trying to control are just like, are broken like a snake with broken teeth. The whole world appears to be full of happiness, and even great personalities in the material world are seen as being spiritual souls, as the same as all the other living entities, including the insignificant ants. That's possible if one gets the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what this marathon's about, is get the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so we can wake up and we can wake up others too. When we wake up, we'll see that this is a nice dream of Karnadaka Shai Vishnu. But when we're asleep, then we think the dreams were real. We think Karnadaksha Vishnu is a dream. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Well, I try to at least keep everyone awake during class. Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.